like a long, lonely stream. I keep running towards a dream, moving on.
We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have you with us. Milwaukee native Madeline Glaspie began drawing and painting at an early age. She went to art-centered public schools in the city up till college to hone her craft. In 2013, she graduated with a BFA in drawing and painting from San Francisco's Academy of Art University, but she decided to come back to Milwaukee to be a professional artist. In Milwaukee, Glaspie continued painting and working out of her own studio, but she always felt the need to do more with her art and to help connect other people with it. And today, her dream is realized at a new space in Cudahy. It's called Find Your Light Art School and Gallery.
Madeline Glaspie, welcome to Lake Effect from afar. Thank you for having me at your studio today.
Thank you for coming to check it out, and thank you for your interest.
So before we get into your space and your work, I'm curious about your first memory of connecting with art or making art.
Absolutely. It's very vivid to me. It was at Roosevelt Middle School of the Arts, and my art teacher, Ms. Schneider, was extremely encouraging and supportive, and she had us do a project where we would have to keep a sketchbook the entire semester and finish about 20 sketches by the end. And of course I had put it off the entire time, but right towards the end I was like, okay, I'm not gonna turn in nothing. This is, you know, I'm gonna really try. About 12 years old, and I, you know, just went around the house and decided to just sketch what I saw, sketch what I would see in my everyday life, turning in that sketchbook, those 20 sketches, and having my art teacher tell me that they were special and that they were, you know, just like better than average, and telling me that basically that I was good at something, which was just like, I mean, I was floating afterwards because I was really searching for something to offer, I guess.
Has your family had a history of the arts or drawing or visual art? Or, you know, do you recall what made you so connected to just the physical act of drawing and creating something?
So it's actually kind of funny. My older sister went to all of these arts-focused Milwaukee public schools as well. And I was kind of always, I guess, trying to carve out my own path. But at first, I was trying to do the same things that she was, which was performing, and no fear seemingly involved. But when I would get up in front of people, I would completely choke, just completely forget what I was supposed to say, what I was supposed to do. The limelight was just way too much. And so once I discovered that I could still bring joy to people through the arts, but I could do it all by myself and then quietly on my own and then share it with people later on, it was like, oh man, this is perfect. Like, this is exactly, this just fits my personality so much better than that. So that was my sister. And then my mom is certainly an artist. Her medium is fabric. So she sewed all of our clothes growing up, and definitely a garment sewer, and then later on in life, more of a quilter. But she also owned a specialty fabric store in Bayview called The Cutting Table. Growing up with a mom that was an entrepreneur, full-spirited entrepreneur and artist herself with fabric and with, you know, designing her own specialty fabric store was just really, really cool and very unique.
So we're sitting here in your new studio in Cudahy with tons of canvases on the walls, some works in progress. So for those of us who aren't here, and this is radio, so how would you describe your style and the materials that you primarily use?
Sure. So so a lot of times people will say it looks impressionistic, and I actually really enjoy that description because I always am going for like an impression of a moment, and really as I paint, focusing on like the feeling of the moment. But definitely painterly is another descriptive term. So in terms of subject matter, most if not all of the work in the space right now are florals or figurative, because those are definitely my two favorite subjects to work with. And only recently did I kind of discover the sort of the connection between the two. So with flowers, you have this really fleeting beauty. They're kind of a most timeless symbol of fleeting beauty. And when you're capturing a person or a portrait, it's one singular moment in time. And we don't all look the same our entire lives. We don't exist forever. So to be able to capture somebody in paint and capture them in a single moment in time is just like, it's the best. It's the best. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of these paintings, they show a lot of depth. And is it primarily oils that you work with?
That's correct.
Yeah. So can you explain your process? So for example, the photo that's most catching my eye is of, you know, the dinner scene over there. It looks like a Polaroid, you know, or just an old photo like that. So when it comes to choosing a photo or a still life to do, what is your process to work up to that finished product?
That's a good question. Sometimes I go seeking out imagery, and sometimes, you know, it just kind of appears, or I'll find it on a flash drive or something like that, just sifting through photos that I maybe originally didn't find that interesting, but they'll all of a sudden have this glow to them, so they sort of glow right off the paper or off of the screen, and then I know I definitely have to work with them. More recently, like the painting you just pointed out, I became super infatuated with old family photographs. And throughout my painting career, there's been things that I've grown very obsessed with, and then it sort of fades away and I move on to something else. This is an infatuation that has not subsided at all. It's just fascinating the way you can be sort of like a detective when you look at these images. And so you look at what people are wearing, or maybe the color palette of the image itself, because there was only a certain way to develop photographs at that time. You use all of these clues to try to figure out when this took place, and it's just really fun and ever fascinating. So luckily, I am the daughter of a father that has taken millions of photographs over the years. In fact, there's not a lot of times and memories of my dad where he doesn't have a camera slung over his shoulder. And growing up, you know, like in high school or in middle school, when he's the dad that's always telling, okay, turn around, you know, let me take your picture. Okay, you guys, I'll line up, you know, like always making people take pictures. It just was a constant annoyance. Like, oh, you have to do this again. Take pictures of you at the worst possible times. You look disgusting, and he'll take your picture sitting at the kitchen table and just go, oh, dad, stop it. But at the age that I am now, and the photographs that I've found, the gems that I've been able to paint from, I am so grateful for the years of photographs. So he has an office. It's just packed, just floor to ceiling boxes of photographs. And whenever I feel down or, you know, a little mildly depressed here and there, I go into that office and I look through those boxes, and some of the pictures I'll be in as a child, or some were way before I was born, and I just feel connected to something deeper and bigger, and it just cheers me up, and I always know I can just go in there and like walk out feeling better.
So we are sitting in your brand new studio and gallery, and I feel like taking that step isn't a decision. It's obviously not made lightly, but I feel like in the arts community, it's a decision made when someone is way further down the line in their career, you know, has something to build on. So what influenced your decision to do this? What made you take that leap?
So I've had a few pretty informal teaching experiences, but though they were informal, they were so powerful, and I just realized really quickly how much bigger your love for the craft and for the process can be when you're describing it fresh for someone who's never learned these things. So for me in school, it's like, I mean, it was practice, practice, practice for 4 years, kind of the same routine. And I would feel kind of, you know, annoyed and stifled because I had to paint things a certain way. But by the end of it, and after maybe a couple years after graduating from school, I realized how huge of a gift it was, the education that I got, because I learned how to use these tools to just most accurately articulate what I want to express and what I want to communicate to people. So there would be these moments in the studio where I was painting and just unbelievable gratitude for like being able to paint whatever I wanted to paint and doing it in exactly the way that I wanted to. So I felt like I got a real gift with the education that I got. And I also thought, what if other people want to feel this way? What if other people want this feeling of like real empowerment with the brush in their hand? Like they feel so confident that they can articulate forms, and I will be teaching how to paint in a realistic manner. And I definitely want to have guest instruction for other styles of painting that may not be realistic, but in terms of painting realism, with oils, there's a certain way to do it. And when you learn that way, you find your signature style and you feel like you can just paint anything, and it's the best feeling in the world.
So this is really your goal, it seems, is to be a community space, to not just have it to show your art, but to teach other people and for other people to demonstrate theirs. So what are you learning about the business, so to say, of having a gallery? Because I imagine in your past experiences, you know, you've run into like gallery fees if you want to show things. But for this, how do you see your role as kind of a foster person for the community of, you know, not just Cudahy here, but Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's really exciting because it wasn't the first goal in opening this space. The first goal, the first focus was teaching. That's what I was the most enthusiastic and energetic and focusing my thoughts on. And then as we painted the walls and the fantasy became more real, looking at all of this wall space, thinking, wow, this is cool. I can actually provide a space for other artists to show in. Mainly because I've also struggled to find places to show in that it's easy just to sort of approach the space and just say I'd like to show here, and I want to make it really easy for artists to show their work because I really think there should be more spaces out there that are devoted to art. And that's not to say anything bad about showing your work in restaurants or cafes, because that's also a great place to show. But there's something really special about showing your work in a place that's devoted to art. And I just don't think there's enough spaces out there. So I'm looking forward to making this a very inclusive space, a very open and warm environment for artists to come and feel comfortable sharing their work with people. But I am excited about taking a smaller commission off of the work that will sell, because the money made to pay the bills at the end of the month for this space is not relying on the sales of paintings. The majority of it would come from class sales. And I'd also love to open the space up to just any group, you know, that wants to use the space. It's a really versatile space. Once it's all cleared out, you could do a lot of different things in the space. I pictured yoga, but I just thought that would be so cool in here. It's just nice,
it'd be a great atmosphere,
you know, a lot of just nice wood floors, and it just feels really nice in here. So,
and I would be remiss not to mention to our listeners that you bought this space. It was the former funeral home. So coming into it now, you know, it obviously does not feel that way at all, but I'm sure maybe you had some moments of doubts and trepidation as you looked at this space, because funeral homes are so unique in that what they can be repurposed into without doing major deconstruction and remodeling. So what was that process for you like? Were you looking for, I mean, I don't know if you were looking for a funeral home per se, but when you were looking for spaces to bring your dreams to fruition, to teach art to people, how did this space fall in line with that?
Well, we looked a fair amount of places, and the guidelines that we were looking for mainly were that the main first floor would be pretty wide open. Didn't have to be huge, but just open space, undivided, and that there would be a room above, like a rental property to go along with the space to help bring income into the space. So that was really our only requirements. We looked a few different places, and nothing was in our price range, or it just wasn't right, or it needed a ton of work, which would drive the price up a lot more. So, found out about this space, found out that it was a former funeral home, and I was already familiar with Inspiration Studios, which is in West Dallas. So it was a funeral home converted into a gallery space and theater space. So having already shown there and felt what it was like to be in a space that you knew was devoted to something very different, but transformed into a place to celebrate the arts, I really liked that concept. I thought it was kind of poetic in itself, to bring life into a space that's devoted to handling death. It just was interesting. It felt like it had something to chew on there, and I thought, that's kind of cool. But I was also definitely trepidatious about if by the time we were done with our work, would you still feel like it was a funeral home? That was a strong feeling of mine. I didn't want there to be any obvious things about the space that made you think that when you walked in. So when we walked into the space, there's kind of a small entryway, and then you turn the corner and it just opens up and just beautiful. And I pictured it, the first thing I saw were just easels in a circle, and I saw the subject, whatever it was, a model, or a still life right in the center there, and I just saw it immediately. And I didn't see a funeral home. I saw something else completely. So that was pretty exciting to see it as something totally different. And now it's fun because I get people into the space that knew it as a funeral home, came to funerals here, maybe had family members that had their funerals here, and it's pretty powerful. But I also get people in here that never knew it as anything other than what it is now, and they have no idea. So I think we did a good job at transforming it and giving it new life.
I definitely agree with that. So this is freshly open to the public.
Yes.
How do you feel as an artist now that you have this space for yourself? Are you rejuvenated or reinvigorated with your own work? And when you have your own time to work on stuff that's just for you, how does all of this process, how has it impacted that area of your life?
It's changed a lot. I do have a separate studio, but I've found myself ever since finishing up the work for my first solo show that went up just a week ago. Since I finished that, I've found myself waking up every morning just wanting to scurry over here and get things set up. Classes start in a week, or Tuesday, this Tuesday. And so there's so much excitement in here that I actually don't find myself going to work on my own stuff at my private studio as much right now, because it's too exciting that in a matter of days I'll be sharing this passion with some people that I know, but some total strangers, and inspiring people to just love the craft. So yeah, I'm very excited about this. It's been a transition. And at first I was nervous because I've been very protective of my devotion to painting ever since graduating from college. And that was in 2013. I just felt like, you know, there's so many things pulling you in different directions after you graduate, especially with a fine art degree, and trying to figure out what you're going to do with that, feeling defeated a lot, and all of the unknowns just making it feel like you're wearing a blindfold and people are trying to make you stop all the time, or life is trying to make you stop all the time. So I've been kind of nervous to jump into something as big as this, because it could potentially take me off track. But it's just a kind of a little offshoot of the path that I'm on, and the fact that I get to share it with other people is always what brings me back to center and reminds me why I'm doing it, because that's what it's all about. It's working with other people and sharing the light, sharing the love.
And to finish, I do want to ask about the inspiration behind the title of your studio, the Find Your Light.
So I've gotten a variety of comments about it, which is fun. Some people think that it's ironic or funny that it was a funeral home and the title is Find Your Light. And I would agree with that. It's funny, but, you know, it came from, you know, just surface level. It's what I would hear all the time in school, because I went to a school that was sort of atelier style, which means you're always working from life. You're always painting from life. There's always a model, or there's always objects in front of you that you're painting from. So whenever there would be a model up on the stage there, the teacher says, okay, find your light. And that's when the model adjusts to make sure that the light is hitting them in a way that will make for a beautiful painting, because that's all we see. That's everything that we see is because light is hitting it. And so one day I was, you know, struggling to think of a name, because it's really hard to think of a name. It's very hard. Just thinking for months. And it just came into my mind, and the more I thought about it, the deeper it got, the sort of dual meaning of it, because at least for me, painting is the way that I can experience magic in the world and lightness in the world. And it's the most lightness that I feel in life is when I'm painting. And so on a deeper level, that's what the title means to me. But it's also about the students finding their own light. And it's not mine to give to them. I don't want people to paint like me, but I want them to find their own truest form of expression and find their light.
Well, I'm sure you'll have great success with that on all fronts. And Madam Glaspie, again, thanks so much for having me here.
Thanks, Audrey. It was a pleasure.
Madeline Glaspie is an artist and the owner of Find Your Light Studio in Cudahy, where she shows art and also offers classes. Her solo exhibition, More Than a Hammer and a Nail, Paintings Inspired by My Father's Days in Mississippi, is also currently showing at the Wright Museum of Art at Beloit College through the 28th.